Mad Radio on a Monday, the 18th day of March. We are a week into the NFL free agency period, and we still have no offensive linemen signed by the Houston Texans.
Are there no offensive linemen signed? Not even a... I always assume that I missed somebody like a little Bruno Giacomini type or anything that they signed. No? All right.
Nope, not one.
I've been more absorbed. I live close enough to Deer Park that I'm more concerned with this fire that's raging over there than I am about the non-signings of the Houston Texans, where... Was yesterday St. Patrick's Day or just today?
Yesterday was.
So everybody celebrates mostly on Saturday.
I celebrated on Saturday, yes, because I thought it was responsible.
I was reading this. I can see in your eyes. Oh my gosh! Wow, you drank this weekend. Oh my gosh! You look like Frosty the Snowman with your little coal eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my, you're so...
Saturday was
your
intense.
Your face is so puffy. Your eyes look like they're 4 inches deep in your skull.
Not going to lie, I was in my bed for 20 hours straight yesterday. I slept at a friend's house. I got home at like 10 in the morning. Not going to lie, still felt like I was drunk as I was getting the Uber back. And I did not leave the bed until 4:15 this morning.
I hadn't looked at you in the face until just
now. Bad, man.
So you spent all of Sunday in bed.
If you were like an ugly dude or something, I wouldn't be laughing at you like this.
I know, I look like crap.
This is a temporary state for you.
Hopefully. I'm not going to lie. I'm debating just quitting.
Life? Or just like both. Trying?
Drinking, you're just trying.
Quitting drinking. Maybe you might think. Yeah, that always...
I'm saying it now. I mean, on Friday, I'll be right back to like, oh, wow, looking forward to going out to the bars
this
weekend.
You're a lot more resilient than you gave yourself credit for. You're
moderation, my friend.
Quitters, quitters suck. I think that as I read this weekend, something about Brian Gaine and how his... This wasn't even a St. Patrick's Day story. I was just reading some old article about Brian Gaine where it mentioned that both his parents are Irish immigrants, and it hit me. That's why they're not spending any money in free agency. His parents probably lived through a potato famine or something, and he's learned those lessons. Just like my grandma, who lived through the Great Depression, would always kind of, she drove a certain sense of frugality into me because she was always pinching her pennies and talking about the Great Depression. So likewise, I'm sure there was like the Great Potato Famine of 1985 or something, drove Brian Gaine's parents over to America.
But the Texans' offensive line is a potato famine.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the issue.
But the thing is, as an Irish immigrant, yeah. Well, an immigrant from Ireland, as an Irish immigrant, you realize like, okay, but there's nothing you can do to make the potatoes grow. You tried, and it was Kendall Lamb, and now Kendall Lamb's off in Cleveland.
Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
So now they have to sign somebody at minimum because they lost somebody.
They lost somebody. Well, no, because you're going to get that. It's all about the compensatory picks. So they're going to sign somebody that was cut, and or they're going to draft. You can't draft. You have actual holes on the roster right now that need to be filled by human beings. And it doesn't seem like you could just draft human beings to fill in all those holes. You'd like to have somebody that at least has some semblance of playing ability there.
Well, there is somebody that they tried out on Friday who does have a semblance of playing ability. They tried out. Tackle Jake Fisher. The problem is that Jake Fisher now wants to be a tight end. So the Texans brought in former tackle turned tight end, not officially, but in his own mind, Jake Fisher for a workout on Friday.
So they did. Well, plus for a workout or just a visit?
Just for a workout, yes.
Well, maybe
I'm guessing it is a visit.
Coming off an injury or something? No, this is writers are really bad at this. They always call these things workouts when they're in fact visits. It's very rare that somebody works out this time of year unless they're coming off of big surgery or something.
I was reading into this. I think he was banged up. I don't know if he ended 2018 specifically injured.
Hey, somebody remind me. One of our listeners was saying that Jake Fisher, when J.J. Watt got hurt one of the times, like jumped on his back or something. Somebody's accusing Jake Fisher of being dirty. I vaguely recall that, but I don't remember it specifically.
I remember Eric Fisher.
Yeah, I think it was Eric.
Oh, it was Eric Fisher for the Chiefs?
That's what they might be
thinking. Oh, all right. That's what they're thinking of then. All right. Okay. Eric Fisher, noted tough guy. He was another one of these ones that were like, wow, look at how tough he is in college. He's playing in the MAC. He's beating up on guys that shouldn't have even gotten scholarships. What the hell are you talking about, tough?
Fair point.
Yeah.
So you have some theories as to why Gain has been, quote-unquote, selectively aggressive in free agency.
Well, he hasn't been selectively aggressive.
He hasn't really.
No, my whole point was that he hasn't been selectively aggressive. He said during the combine that he was going to be selectively aggressive.
Yes.
We haven't seen him be aggressive anywhere, right?
I guess
signing Roby to a one-year $10 million deal,
that's
selectively aggressive, because that's a one-year gamble. You don't know what you're going to get out of Roby. You might get a dumpster fire. You might get some actually good man. You're going to get a few good games out of him. But in terms of how good is he over the course of the season, you're hoping that he's really motivated on this one-year deal. So I shouldn't say dumpster fire is the downside. But you might get some stinkers of performances with him. There were, you don't know exactly where he was with his head last year. But that's a calculated risk. I guess that's what's the phrase that Brian Gain used?
Selectively aggressive.
Selectively aggressive.
I agree with that. I think that's signing Roby to a $10 million contract, granted for 1 year. I think that qualifies as selectively aggressive.
I don't. They don't have any corners.
Yeah.
How is it aggressive?
Well, because they have
that because aggressive would be like, okay, aggressive would be like you jump out of the foxhole and charge. This is him, like, taking shots from the foxhole. He's peeking his head up, pew, 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 then back down.
Well, I think you can argue it's selectively aggressive from two standpoints. One, they beat out teams to sign Roby. And two, you could actually argue that Roby's overpaid.
Okay.
You could actually argue that Roby's getting paid too much money.
Other teams offered him three-year deals for much less money. The Steelers, the 49ers, and I think one other team. But at least two teams offered him three-year deals, so he came to Houston for a higher average per year. So I guess that might qualify as selectively aggressive.
But that's it.
Extremely selectively aggressive. We didn't...
I think we're being selective and calling things selectively aggressive.
This is almost like Mike with his women, where he thinks he's being picky. Like, he thinks he's being selectively aggressive when, in fact, he's being...
Dead inside?
Yeah.
That's about it.
Like, you're thinking, like, well, I'm just picky. But, like, yeah, but you shut all of them down. Like, you turn each one... You give the stiff arm to every woman you date after, like, two dates. Like,
yeah.
He's focusing on himself.
That's right. So Brian Gain is following the Mike Meltzer dating strategy of being selectively aggressive.
Kind of.
Well, he was, but he lost in love once. He went out, he fell in love with Aaron Colvin. He wined him, he dined him, he gave him a steak dinner. They probably flew him over here first class, and it was a huge disappointment. It's hard to love once you've loved and lost, Mike, and that's where Brian Gain is right now.
I know that feeling. Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Monday morning, we're trying to figure out if Brian Gain has stayed true to his word of the combine. Remember, this was Brian Gain 3 weeks ago on the Texans' free agency plans.
I think we'll be selectively aggressive where we can, and based on what's going to be available to us at various positions. And obviously with our own players hitting the free agent market, potentially hitting the free agent market, we're contingency planning all the time. I'm always going to try to prioritize this, Sean. We're going to try to keep our own, draft and develop our own, try to sign our own guys to long-term deals before we look for external solutions. And if we have the ability to do that, that'll be my first priority.
This is one thing that one NFC executive told Albert Breer in the MMQB. Quote, "It's just a bad class. This class was always buyer beware. Even the guys who got franchised, not that they're one-year wonders, but players like Frank Clark, D. Ford," and then he went on, unquote. To just talk about it, it's kind of a lackluster class. That part of it has me, and I would imagine the Colts fans, feeling there's at least justification for not going out and spending boatloads of money. Like, not outbidding for Trent Brown, the offensive tackle who went to the Raiders and is get the highest paid contract in the NFL. I get that. It's that at some point I thought there would be a mid-level signing, like a guy to a 3 or 4 year deal.
Yes.
that is a viable starter. It doesn't have to be the marquee guy. It doesn't have to be a first week guy. But now we are in the second week. I'd like to see some of these guys start to come through the doors.
I think that's a good quote, and that's a quote that should make people feel better if they're not happy with what the Texans have not done in the last week. But I want to make this part clear. I'm not disappointed that the Texans haven't quote unquote one free agency. I don't care about winning free agency. That doesn't matter to me. I don't want to be like ranked the highest on these lists. All I want is to upgrade the offensive line.
Yeah.
And particularly in a 2 year span in which your quarterback is so cheap, I want to take advantage of how cheap he is with either by signings or trade, taking chances on guys to upgrade the offensive line. That's it. That's where I'm at.
No, I am too. And especially when you talk about the highest paid guys, I mean, there's so many cautionary tales out there, and there's so many good stats. Like, of the 49 highest paid players in 2016 free agency, only 14 remain on the teams that signed them. So from just a couple years back, 3 years ago, those really, really high-priced marquee guys, the majority of them, like the vast majority of them, don't work out. And the number of guys that actually live up to their best performance, like their previous year's performance, is also very low. Like about 30% of guys actually live up to their previous best years in free agency. So it's very rarely the bounty that people hope it is. Like, you very rarely win the lottery, but you do fill in holes, and the teams that use it and manage the cap wisely and spend moderately in free agency use it to their advantage. The other part of Brian Gaines' strategy, which is to re-sign your own, I suppose that's where you have to be patient with them, because it's just hard. And this is why when you hire a GM but retain your old head coach, it just feels like Brian Gaines might as well have been here for 6 years, just like Bill O'Brien has now been here for 6 years.
Because they're aligned?
Right. Well, yeah, they're aligned. And you want to give a new GM time to work the roster and make it his own. But we are impatient because this is Bill O'Brien's sixth year.
Yeah. Man, when you go back to selective aggressiveness and the fact that they are being patient right now, what does that mean for the draft? That's what I wonder, because you can be selectively aggressive and you can see all these potential offensive linemen that are, for whatever reason, not your cup of tea, and sit back and fine, you're not paying money on them. You're definitely getting some compensatory draft picks down the road, but what are you going to be in the draft if you're selectively aggressive right now in free agency? Because I feel like you might end up forcing yourself to reach. And I would rather be aggressive in free agency and not have to reach in the draft instead of reaching the draft and doing whatever they're doing right now.
Right. Yeah, you could argue in a lot of ways, like the stat I just read, it's always used to tell people why they shouldn't spend heavily in free agency, saying like most of the guys that you sign in free agency are gone within a few years, at least the high price guys. But I think that's the same thing happens in the draft, you know, like the majority of the guys you draft end up off the team within 4 or 5 years. It's just that those guys you draft are a lot cheaper. So that's where you look at the Texans and you say, all right, well, they have cap space. It's a calculated risk. You sign a few guys in free agency hoping that a couple of them work out. Look, okay, Lamar Miller, Brock Osweiler, and
Jeff Allen.
Those are the three big free agency signings. If Jeff Allen had worked out, you know, obviously, look, Brock is that's a whole nother saga unto itself. Let's say you sign three free agents and one of them isn't Osweiler. But if two of those three guys work out, Lamar Miller and Jeff Allen, you'd say, okay, you know what, we overpaid for him, but we got some functional use out of him.
That would be fine.
And that's what you're hoping for. You're not batting 1,000 in free agency, but you are filling in those holes. And like Paul, it's a perfect point. It allows you to be aggressive in the draft and take who actually fits your team the best, who you think the best players are.